This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Why are your nipples so small, man?
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Yeah, he is, and y'all guessed it. Oh, little nipple, he's on the ones and twos, and there's Sean Bajani.
Old little nipple.
Sean Bajani is in for Ron Uglin. We're rocking and rolling. We got the Rockets back in action tonight, y'all. They are hosting the Mavs. You think Nico's going to be in the building? You think Nico Harrison's going to be in the building? If I was him, I'd quit going to games, or I'd at least sit in a suite. I'm talking about the GM, the general manager for the Mavericks that traded Luka. What an idiot is right. I don't know how he still has a job, but I mean, it's like he's going on the road with the team, just taking the fire. Like, go sit in a suite somewhere with a mirrored glass or something, a little two-way glass, so we can't see. Yeah, I mean, good gosh.
If he's there, the cameramen need to find him.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Hell, I mean, they don't have much of a reason to, other than you're in the state of Texas, and I'm sure Houston will be giving him hell. But, I mean, good God, are you kidding me? The Rockets, Mavs tonight at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock Central at the Toyota Center. Rockets looking for their fifth straight win. Here's what's beautiful. What's going on with the Rockets right now is they've hit a spot in their schedule where I don't know what's going to happen, but they should be in every game, a favorite in every game that they have the next five games. They should be able to get a 8 or 9 game win streak rolling out of this, out of the four they have now, and the next five before they run into Denver next Sunday. It's moving time. It's moving time for Houston. LeBron's out, and the Lakers' schedule slightly more difficult than the Rockets. And the Rockets should be able to, if they can rattle off some wins, they don't have to go undefeated. They don't have to be a winning streak, but if they can rattle off some wins here, they could make some serious movement in the West. Yeah. With the exception of Oklahoma City Thunder, everybody is in arm length distance of the Rockets. Now, on the other side, they mess around and no-show a couple of these games. They're going to mess around and let the Golden State Warriors catch them, and then you're going to have the Warriors and the Lakers to deal with. But I don't see that happening, man. Right now, the Rockets are again, it's inconsistent. It's not the best on the offensive end of the floor, but it's that defense, particularly in the regular season, that's going to carry you a long way. That's going to give you an opportunity, and the Rockets appear to be on a roll right now. Hopefully they can keep this thing rolling and catch up and pass the Lakers and flirt.
Stack
with
some wins.
Yeah, man, flirt with the Nuggets and flirt with the Grizzlies. You're right there with them. It starts tonight versus the Mavs. And of course, you're playing the Mavs, who are rolling a G League team out there, I think is what B. Scott said yesterday. So you should go out there and have a nice, healthy lead at half and be able to rest some guys in a fourth.
That'd be nice. Stack some wins, because you mentioned Denver. You got Atlanta, Utah, Phoenix after that. But that final week and a half or so stretch for the Rockets, those are against teams that are going to be jockeying for position.
Yep.
Like, you see the Lakers twice. Oklahoma City's at the top. You know, the outcome against them could very much have everything to do with you being a 2, 3, 4, 5, or you know, maybe even a 6, God right. forbid. Who knows? It's very tight in the Western Conference, and for the first time in 5 years, we have meaningful basketball at this stage of the season for the Houston Rockets. Maybe it did last year as you were kind of hoping, clinging to a hope and a prayer that they make a play-in, but you're talking about positioning seeds within the Western Conference where you could be as high as a 2, and if we're being honest, as tough as the schedule gets down the stretch, maybe even as low as a 7.
Yeah, man. Hopefully they can get. Here's the deal: is like you said, you finish with an obviously more difficult schedule. But you, right now, this run, can you give yourself a little grace? Can you give yourself a little cushion with 2 or 3 games, maybe ahead of the Lakers, and maybe you know 4 or 5 games ahead of Golden State, where you give yourself a little bit of cushion there,
yeah,
to not have to be perfect down the stretch when the competition gets better. It'd be really nice to be able to rest a couple of guys if need be the last couple games of the season. For those games not to matter, it would be nice, right?
I feel like we're getting carried away.
I hear you.
I'm with you.
But
though.
Hey, let's go ahead and rattle off 9 straight wins and then see if it may be more in reach than one might think. But either way it goes, Rockets tonight at the Toyota Center versus the Dallas Mavs, 7 p.m. And it doesn't matter that the Mavs got a G League team rolling out there. It's always fun to kick a little Dallas ass around these parts, if you know what I mean.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Astros just getting underway. Toronto Blue Jays. It is in the top of the first inning. And, you know, just a couple things of note real quick. Obviously, that nothing's happened in the game. It's 0-0. Hell, they ain't even got no outs yet. Isak Paredes is leading this thing off. Yainer Diaz is catching, and he's in the 3-hole. I almost said white boy. Chaz McCormick is is batting 5th in center field, giving Jake Meyers a little run. Then Dubon is hitting 7th, and we'll keep you loaded keep you up on how that. Hopefully you're not loaded. Keep you up on the game as it unfolds.
Will be
here
soon.
Yeah, you will in the next hour or so. Also, Wisniewski, the new Astro. Came over in the Tucker trade, correct?
Yes, sir.
He is on the bump for the Stros tonight against the Blue Jays. We'll, for what it's worth, we'll keep you posted on anything going down that's notable in the Astros-Blue Jays game. Again, they're just now getting underway.
5 o'clock fire.
Biggest story around sports right now, biggest story around the NFL right now is, without a doubt, Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers' picture on the beach with a blankie has had them all up in arms this morning. Who's taking the picture? What the hell's going on? Boy, I tell you, they can't get enough of Aaron Rodgers. They tell you they hate him, but they can't get enough of him. And there's a little light has been shed on the Aaron Rodgers situation, right? I mean, we talked yesterday about it seemed like everybody wanted to paint the picture of Aaron Rodgers as if he's literally holding the Steelers hostage or something, trying to decide between them and the Giants. Well, the most recent report, I guess, on the Aaron Rodgers front is from Diana Rossini, who's been on top of this thing for a few days now. The Vikings are having discussions about what they want to do at the quarterback position and if they want Rodgers. Rodgers is giving them time and waiting to hear from Minnesota. The Vikings have yet to make a decision. We all wait. That's Diana Rossini on the Aaron Rodgers front. I'm going to tell you what. If I had a 14-win Super Bowl-ready Minnesota Vikings team flirting with me, and my fallback was Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers with DK Metcalf on one side and Pickens on the other, I'd have me a blankie on that damn beach too, being nice and patient if it came down to it. So,
well, if it was between those two teams, you're not even paying attention to the Giants.
Oh no, well, I'm not. But I mean, maybe he is. Maybe he don't want to get out of New York. Maybe he got him a little side something up there in New York. He don't want to be too far from. I don't know. But boy, yeah, it sure seems like Aaron Rodgers in Minnesota scary. Look, I don't know what people think about it. Like you personally think about Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers from a talent perspective in Minnesota with that roster that Sam Darnold took to 14 wins and should have took a lot further than he did after the wheels came off versus the pressure late in the season as well as in the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers with the Minnesota Vikings is going to scare some folks, if indeed it does happen.
I'm trying to figure out why people are just all over Rodgers, like Adam Schefter being impatient with, like, man, will you hurry up and sign already? You know, the video that he did the other day. And then people calling Rodgers, you know, just an egomaniac, and which all that might be true, but I mean, how many days into free agency are we?
Like, I came out of the darkness.
Like a 30-something year old? Is he still 30-something, or is he about 40? No,
I think he's over 40, bro.
Okay, I think he's going to be 41 this year then. But for an old guy, still trying to hang on and consider playing quarterback, like, take your time.
The minute that he walked out there and said he was immunized instead of vaccinated, and how he handled that whole situation.
I know, it's all gone downhill.
How much money has he got made? But like, at the end of the day, like, that for whatever reason turned people off in a major, major way.
Yeah.
And so now, from the media game perspective, anytime Aaron Rodgers comes up, the first person that's out there talking about his ego and talking about this and talking about that, you're gonna stir that crew up that doesn't like him because of the immunization approach that he had to COVID. It's just wild to me how 99%, and look, there was clearly some diva in Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron Rodgers he's always been a different cat and a diva and the Green Bay ways, and so people can all point back to that, but the shift happened when he got immunized. Yeah. That's when it all...
I don't disagree with that, but I like the football player, and I'm hoping the football player has a little left in the tank.
Yeah, when he's good, man.
And I hope he spells whatever's left in the tank with a good team this year. Steelers or Vikings, don't really care which one he winds up with.
Yeah, I'd like to see the Vikings. I'd like to see the indoor Justin Jefferson with a great play caller, with they've done some stuff with their offensive line with that. I mean,
take your ass to the NFC so the Texans don't have to worry about that situation.
Yeah, man, you're right there. Yeah, get that away from Pittsburgh, right?
The sense of humor that the universe has.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Players' Championship. I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but round two is all but wrapped up today. And I'll be honest with you, T. I can't read that the way you got that written in there. I ain't got them cats' names.
Minwoo Lee.
There you go.
Nobody anybody cares about is winning, unfortunately, right now.
Akshay Bhatia. They're your leaders right now.
Yeah, McIlroy and Morikawa. Tied for fourth place. Scottie Scheffler. I don't know where I was going with that. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. For some reason I thought I looked up at the TV this morning and Scottie Scheffler was at the top. And clearly he wasn't. I mean,
they probably showed a top 10 is what you saw. I mean, he had a good day yesterday. He shot a 69, but there were a lot of 66s yesterday and a lot more today.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the deal: is these guys this morning as I'm watching, trying to catch up. These guys, the weather's supposed to turn awfully bad on Sunday, so if you can get a big lead now, odds are you can keep it. So it looks like a couple of guys went 7 under today, a couple guys went 6 under today, a couple 5 unders, but as long as Scottie Scheffler's out there lurking, boy, you better look out because he can make a move on a Saturday and Sunday, no doubt.
So Morikawa and Hoffman went 7 under today, 65.
There you go.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, one running back that was out there because I went ahead and decided that the Texans need one of their needs is running back as well. This isn't me determining that. It's them. They told us last year what they think about Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce couldn't even get on the field on third down situations over Dare Ogunbowale, a special teams ace. But the running back position with the Houston Texans has to be better, both the backup as well as the third down scat back. And if it's two and the same, if it's the same person, that's fine. But they've got to get more out of their backup running back. For obvious reasons, but I think the biggest reason to me is we heard last year where the reason that we weren't using Joe Mixon in the pass game and in different formations is because he was worn out. He was having to play too many snaps. You can only use him so much in so many ways. And we've got to at least have our backup running back position in shape enough to where we can spell Joe Mixon early in games so that he's better in the fourth. As well as throughout the season, he's healthy enough that we can and fresh enough that we can use him in the pass game. Because I think that's one. There's several ways schematically that this team can get better, like Dalton Schultz being better at what he does. But one of those ways is their ability to use Joe Mixon in the pass game out of the slot is a huge opportunity that was left on the shelf last year. And anyway, I say all that to say there was a running back. One of the running backs I had my eye on that I thought would be a really good fit for Houston as a backup, as a number two running back, as well as a guy that could help you on third down. He's off the market. Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is returning to the Chiefs on a one-year deal. And again, this is the kind of guy I'm looking for. I mean, you look at some of the advanced stats. Kareem Hunt was really, really good last year in Kansas City. He signs a one-year deal worth up to $2.5 million. I mean, that's, you know, that's the kind of deal that you're looking for a backup running back that can help you in more than one way. Even if even if Damian Pierce is a this is where I'm like kind of. Because now the Texans are in a different place where we can evaluate guys a little differently, right? They've built this roster to where there's now we can get critical about certain pieces, whereas before it was way down the list. Like, I look at Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce is a good running back. Like, Damian Pierce is not good out of the backfield in terms of pass catching and running routes and creating opportunities there. Mm-hmm. Not saying he can't, but it's just not his specialty, right? And so, like, you need that number two guy to be craftier than what Damian Pierce is. And so, I don't know, man. I like the Kareem Hunt kind of guy, especially at $2.5 million. You look at Raheem Mostert. I mean, he just went for, I think, $2.5 million somewhere. That's the kind of guy I'm looking for when we're talking about
Mostert's
backup.
Had three pretty good seasons in a row with the Dolphins, and I forgot who he went to the other day.
The Raiders, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was the Raiders. You're right. But, you know, the Kareem Hunt deal, you get him for up to 2.5. Dude almost ran for 800 yards last year, scored seven touchdowns.
Yeah.
If Damian Pierce, and I don't think it's going to be him, but if he could, or whoever is that TBD, and it's damn sure not going to be Dorian Gumbawale, if he could be to Joe Mixon what Ben Tate was to Arian Foster back in 2011... That was one of the best, probably the best one-two punch at running back the Texans have ever had. That's what you need at this point, given what you're paying Joe Mixon and given what you should be getting out of a number two, just a fraction of what Ben Tate was to Arian Foster. That would be a huge win for the Texans this year.
All right, there is a huge amount of pressure on C.J. Stroud. Huge amount of pressure, monster year for him personally as well as for the Houston Texans. And what we're watching right now, I know they're not done yet, but what we're watching right now, D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio, you simply can't do it to the young fella. You got to be better for the young fella. I'll explain next right here on Sports Radio 610.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
Choke on this thing.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Ugly is out. Sean Bajani is in. T Mills on the ones and twos, and ain't nobody choking on nothing in this studio.
God bless America. What are you doing?
I done had grapes, cheese. I had boiled eggs. I had almonds. I ain't choked on nothing over here. I don't know what the hell Sean's talking about. Mm-mm.
I couldn't help myself. Oh,
hey, I tell you what, boys. They done launched that old rocket. I believe they're launching that rocket tonight. Go get them folks that's stuck at the space station. Y'all heard about this?
No.
I've heard about it. I didn't know that was happening tonight.
9 months, Chief. 9 months. Two people been stuck at that space station.
What?
9 months.
We've all done 9 months in the uterus. Man.
Does it say the names?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. They could have grew a baby in that thing.
Does it say the names of...
There's four of them that are coming back on March the 15th.
Is one of them named Garen?
I think it's Suni Williams and Butch Wilmore are the two that I believe have been stuck up there. There's an Alexander and a Nick that are also coming back, but I think they're part of the group that's going up. Yeah, man.
A Butch made it to be an astronaut.
They're supposed to. The way that NASA Twitter reads here, I think they're taking off from the NASA Kennedy over here at 7:03 p.m.
Okay.
We have a liftoff.
And they'll dock March 15th at Space Station.
Mm-hmm.
And those four that I just mentioned are scheduled to return to Earth a few days later. I guess they get up there and they got to figure some things out before they get back in this direction.
Wonder if they're sending Bruce Willis.
Bruce ain't going. He's not in shape to go, man. He is.
That's true.
Yeah, he's
sad.
Bruce is not. He's not in any shape to be getting on a rocket, I don't think.
He's already saved us once. It's all right.
But good point. He's already saved the world
Matthew
once.
Matthew McConaughey. Go.
Guys,
right?
Y'all are missing the point. It's a rescue mission, man. They've been stuck up there for 9 months, and y'all want to see. You think they give a damn about Matthew McConaughey?
He's rescued people before.
Yes, tremendous movie.
Maybe not in space.
Yeah, he did. Interstellar.
I mean, I even try to save you guys.
He got lost in the wormhole on that other movie.
That's Interstellar. But then he
saved him, and then he lost himself.
But then he got saved.
Then he got trapped behind a bookcase.
But yeah, as Clint's saying, bring our folks home.
I mean, are
bring
you guys
our friends
kidding me?
Home.
The
all right, what's
going on here, man?
I know our NASA folks kick ass. Get up there, get the job done. Bring them home. Put them on hard ground. Let's go.
Let's hit a quick prayer for a safe rocket launch, man, and let's arrive there so we can bring these folks home. And y'all want to talk about Matthew McConaughey and Mel Gibson? I mean, or Bruce Willis, whoever the hell it was. I'm sure Mel was in that conversation somewhere. But from one level of pressure to another, the pressure that's on C.J. Stroud this year is absolutely tremendous, y'all. I mean, this is a contract year for all intents and purposes for him.
Think Ben Affleck will go? I'm just kidding.
Golly. Maybe.
I'm done.
What's Ellen DeGeneres' former wife's name? Sorry.
You got me, Jim.
That's Contact.
A question.
Who played? She had a weird name. Anyway,
I ain't got it. C.J. Stroud doesn't have a weird name, though. He's got a very, very easy one. He's very easy. Very easy.
Clint hates me right now.
No. I love it. I'm just not a big movie buff, so I can't help. I can't help you, man. But whether you look at C.J. Stroud playing for a max deal, I mean, literally this year, there's major pressure on C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans. Is D'Amico Ryans a good head coach that's a great defensive mind that can't get it figured out on the offensive side of the football? Is C.J. Stroud the quarterback that we watched year one and was rookie of the year and was Brady-like, surgical from the pocket, overcame and was a fixer, overcame the receiver health issues, the O-line health issues, or is he a guy that we saw last year, although it wasn't his fault all the way, but there is some level of responsibility for the quarterback and what all the pressure that was created, right? Who is he? One guy I ain't hesitating a bit to pay $60 million plus per year to as long as he'll take it, right?
Mm.
The other guy, I think we got to have conversations about what that looks like. Now, that pressure is there no matter what happens. But what Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans just simply cannot do to this kid is let all this free agency, offseason, and draft fall by the wayside, and you still haven't upgraded this offensive line.
Yeah.
Right? That's the reality of this situation right now. And I'm not sitting here, so everybody out there relax that wants to be patient. I'm being patient. What I'm saying is right now, this offensive line, interior offensive line, they're not a first round draft pick away from being an improvement. Right? I mean, we're gonna use our first round pick on a guard or a tackle, and then we're gonna slide Titus Howard here or there. Like you're not gonna end up being better. But than you, what you were.
You said you were cool with the Texans getting a tackle high in the draft, though, and you think they could find a useful one there, right?
I would be okay. What I would rather them do is be more aggressive while you still have guards on the free agent market before other teams lock them up.
Yeah.
Which they ain't, but I think three or four left in the top 50 or something like that. But I would rather them be more aggressive now. Instead of this, like the, Nick Caserio has this to me, it's an overthinking of it all, right? It's the same way they always approached offensive football in New England, which he was always doing more with less.
Mm-hmm.
It was always, except with the exception of the Randy Moss year,
yeah.
Like Brady was always doing more with less,
mm-hmm.
And my fear of that is you don't have Tom Brady. I think you got a guy that can play similar to Tom Brady stylistically, but you don't have Tom Brady. And the further we get removed from those days, the more we realize that, yes, Bill Belichick was great on the defensive side of the football,
mm-hmm.
but the rest of it was suspect.
Yeah.
The further removed we get away from that, the more I look at it and go, hey, man, how much of that was Brady's doing and constantly doing more with less and making things work and being great at the line of scrimmage and processing and avoiding pressure. Like, how much of that was just, hey, man, Brady's one of the best to ever do it?
Yeah.
And how much of it was, well, they were conservative and spread that money out across the board, didn't pay guys and developed guys and all of that stuff. I just, that scares me with Nick Caserio that they're overthinking this thing. You had a major, major, major problem with the offensive line. It's layered, yes, but one of them was talent. And you decided, which I embraced the hell out of, to blow this thing up and start over. Blowing it up and starting over doesn't mean with a bunch of journeymen that haven't been good other places. It doesn't mean shuffling the deck here in Houston and putting your quote-unquote five best players out there. It doesn't mean hoping that your former draft picks develop. All of that's nice, but at some point in time, C.J. Stroud's got an unbelievable amount of pressure on him. It's a monster year for him. This organization is not going any further than C.J. Stroud can take him. For you to not protect him, and I'm talking about protecting him in a major way. Don't get into the season and because he doesn't process at this level or that level, we're having problems up front. Or because Juice Scruggs doesn't develop, we're having problems up front. Or the bargain hunting you did at the guard position during free agency doesn't work out. Those guys pan out to be exactly who they were the year before you got here. It doesn't work out. Like this, the approach that D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio are taking with the offensive line, they've got to be perfect to make it work.
Are their top level? Well, hold on. Before I even ask this question, you're good with the tackle situation right now?
No problem with the tackle situation.
Okay, so now guards, you got Ed Ingram, and you've got Laken Tomlinson, and
Juice Scruggs.
You got Juice Scruggs, right?
Yes.
Are there top level guards available on the free agent market right now, in your opinion, that you feel like the Texans should be going to get and bringing them in?
I wouldn't say top level. I would say significantly more dependent and significantly better than what you have in house right now.
Okay. Yes. So if they're still out there and the Texans have literally been doing something every other day, right, in changing the complexion of not just their line, but their team on all sides of the ball, it's still a work in progress. This is a little similar to me what we watched happen last offseason with the Texans when they traded knucklehead defensive tackle that just signed a 2-year deal, Malik Collins, to the 49ers for a 7th-round pick. You lost Sheldon Rankins at the time to the Cincinnati Bengals for $1 million.
Yeah.
And you went out and got Foley Fatakasi and Danico Autry and Mario Edwards Jr. and Tim Settle. And we're sitting around thinking, like, dude, like, none of this is, like, really doing it for us. Like, what's going on here? Like, we need a name. You need somebody that's going to, you know, tear something up on the interior. And lo and behold, like, they took a top 11 defense, top 12 or top 16 defense 2 years ago, and they turned it into a top 6. And you, again, for a second consecutive year, set a sack record. And you got a lot of that on the interior. So maybe we're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Stop.
Maybe it's not necessarily just the names. And by the way, like, how many household name guards are there available on the free agent market?
Well, there were a bunch of them. But they teams that needed to protect young quarterbacks went out there and got them. Last year was their year to try that crap. Right, last year was the year to try that crap with Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green and Shaq Mason and you got guys like Kendrick Green that are backing up. You got like the backup plan, the starting plan bombed,
mm-hmm.
right, and the backup plan sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Like last year was the year for you to try to do more with less and skimp by and hope guys developed and all that stuff. Now I'm just here to tell you, like, I don't think they're done. I think they're gonna I think it's gonna look totally different. And I'm talking about totally different at the top. Mm-hmm. When by the time they're done with this thing, by the time we go to training camp. But the way it looks right now, this patient game, this doing more with less and going and getting these guys that are projects and developmental guys at best, I'm telling you, man, Nick and D'Amico, if this doesn't work, because that's what I'm saying, you got to, like, Laken Tomlinson, I mean, he gave up as many pressures last year as Kenyon. He was as bad as Kenyon Green. So was Ed Ingram, bad as Kenyon Green from a pass blocking perspective, right? Like, you gotta fix both of those guys, and those guys gotta stay healthy and be absolute nails the guard position for this to make sense.
Yeah, but
right, you've got, like, Juice Scruggs has to come along and be your starting center and be able to communicate and stay healthy for all of this to make sense. Like, this effort, the effort you're putting forth, they're leaving zero margin for error. Again, I think they're gonna bring other guys in. I'm just telling you, it would be absolute criminal to C.J. Stroud if you don't have a more foolproof plan at the offensive line position than what you got right now.
I just
got
to say this about Ed Ingram. He looks like he has a lot more bulldog in him than Kenyon Greed could ever hope to have.
I think that's fair.
Kenyon, you know, Laremy Tunsil maybe called both of them dogs. Kenyon Greed might be a little chihuahua. Ed Ingram looks like he's got a little Doberman in him.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So just I feel good about that and the veteran experience. Now, maybe he was not a great pass blocker or hasn't been, but what about in this offense? What about with this offensive line coach? What about the guys that he's working alongside? I think there's a time and a place to get the very best out of guys.
Better be right.
And I'm not saying Lakin Tomlinson and Ed Ingram are going to be the answer.
Cole Popovich better be the best thing since sliced bread coaching offensive line.
You know what?
Nick Caley better be the best play caller that we've seen in the league since McVay got in here.
I'm just going to tell you
this. And the guys you're talking about better develop their ass off. That's who.
You know what the Texans did not have this past season on that offensive line is good quality depth to push guys for their jobs.
Agreed.
What they did have 2 years ago, they had good quality former NFL starting depth to push guys for their jobs. You needed every bit of George Fant you got. Fant, you needed every bit of Michael Dieter that you got. And Josh Jones as well.
Yeah.
At one point in time, everybody had clubs on their hands, you know, with the offensive line. Like, you've been through these injury situations now, but you had namesake quality depth 2 years ago. You didn't do it last year. I think they can do it this year, and they've shown with Ed Ingram and Lakin Tomlinson,
that's the one
they're trying
to
bring him back
That's the one thing I think they've accomplished.
That's really
good quality depth.
I think you got some wars. You got some competition.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun, but you better get some top-notch dudes in here immediately. All right, here we go. We got Cooper Kupp. He has made a decision, and he is going to play football next year. We'll tell you if it's in Houston or somewhere else. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Man, woman, or child, right?
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I ain't got that one, but that's a banger right there, too. I like that little beat right there, boy.
I like to treat y'all's ears to a little treat here and there, you know?
Come on, baby. It's one of them old Freaky Fridays. I see what you're doing on this Friday about 6 o'clock. I see what you're doing. I don't know what your evening is going to consist of, Tyler, but I bet it's adventurous, to say the least.
Whiskey and sex, most likely.
Does your wife know? Does your wife know?
She better. She's been out of town all week.
She's married to you. She knows what's going on, man.
Yeah, she does.
All right, here we go, y'all. We got a little news here. We talked about this guy a little earlier in the show, Cooper Kupp. It is breaking news around the NFL world. He is signing with the Seahawks. Per source, this is according to Diana Rossini, by the way.
How much?
I don't know. We're not seeing those numbers yet. Seattle traded DK Metcalf and released Tyler Lockett, but adds another weapon for Sam Darnold in the form of Super Bowl MVP Cooper Kupp. I'm interested to see what's left in the tank.
Man, I got numbers for you.
Do you? Let me see what you got.
3 years.
Mm-hmm.
$45 million.
15 a year. How much is that? Is that up to, or is that 45, 15 a year? Just how much is guaranteed? You got all them numbers yet?
Rappaport just said, you know, right there at about 15 a year.
That's it. 3 years, 45. That's 15 a year. I would be interested if it is, you know, how much of that is incentive based. I would have been okay with that with I don't know, about 15, but yeah, that I really don't care what the top number would be. But some in-game, you know, per-game bonuses. You're healthy every game. Every game you're healthy and you're on the roster.
Yeah,
or active roster. We'll give you half a million or something, and it adds up to another 7-8 million on a year or whatever that adds up to. What does it add to? Yeah, 8 million, I guess, whatever the number is. But I would have been interested in something like that. I would imagine he went out and got some guaranteed money.
Was he your? Oh sure, yeah. I think definitely. Was he your number one guy, like, on the, you know, wide receiver market right now, when you're considering, like, okay, there's Kupp, now he's off. You're still considering Stephon Diggs. You're looking at Amari Cooper. You're thinking about a Keenan Allen. Like, who are you liking for the Texans?
For me, look, again, it's all the guys you just mentioned. I don't know who they are. I know who Keenan Allen is, and I know Keenan Allen is a little bit older, but I watched Keenan Allen with the Bears last year, and every time I turn the TV on, Keenan Allen was making plays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only time Keenan Allen wasn't blatantly obvious a Bear and a difference maker was when they couldn't protect their quarterback, or he was throwing the quick game to somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? When it came down to cutting time, it seemed like Keenan Allen was always open and always getting a rock. Now, you know, he's a guy that's a little older. a little longer in the tooth. That really doesn't fit for me. I love Keenan Allen, but that doesn't fit for me, right? The one that piques my interest is Amari Cooper. Last year, you know, the disappearing act he pulled late with the Buffalo Bills blows my mind. What I'm seeing is reports that he was hampered by some injuries and just wasn't able to keep up. And so are the injuries still a problem? Is he fully healthy? Is he the guy that went for 200-plus yards here against the Texans in 2023? Like, does he still have that in the tank? That intrigues me. Outside of that, man, I'll be honest with you, I'm looking for speed.
Yeah.
Like, to me, what if we go back to what Nick Cayley, like I think the difference in what we saw in the Bobby Slowick system to what we're going to see in the Nick Cayley system, I think they're going to be very similar. Obviously, same terminology. I think we're going to see more 11 personnel, right? I think. And then which is one receiver. One back, one tight end, three receivers. Yeah. And I think we're going to see receivers that have more established positions. Christian Kirk's going to be an inside receiver. He's going to be a slot receiver, right? Nico Collins is going to be an outside receiver, probably your boundary receiver. I'd like to see him made a little bit more priority, moving him around, doing some other things, not wait till everybody else get hurt to use Nico the same way that, let's say, the Bengals use Jamar Chase, right? Like, don't let teams take him out of the mix, like move him around. So I'd like to see that, but he's still an outside receiver any way you slice it. To me, what this team needs, and I'm just talking about complimentary receivers across the board, what you're missing is a take-the-top-off speed guy. Right? I think you can find that in the draft. I think you can go get an Xavier Worthy type guy and say, and at the very least say, you're going to play a lot of snaps. You're going to run your ass off.
Yeah.
You're going to be a guy that we're going to design plays to where you are the take the top off guy. And we're going to feed you. We're going to get you some catches. But at the end of the day, we're bringing you in because you're a speed guy. That can be established in the draft, right? And then you look at that right there across the board. Christian Kirk inside, a speed guy outside. Nico is your predominant, your priority wide receiver. And then, good gosh, Dalton Schultz, give me something. And now you've got some targets, I think, for CJ. And you've got a complimentary group that can create space underneath for Nico, can create space underneath for Dalton, can create space underneath for Christian Kirk kind of deal. You've got some complimentary pieces. Right now, you got Nico and a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And I'm talking, look, the kid that they signed from Kansas City.
Watson. Justin Watson.
I mean, you can talk about him being a deep threat if you want. But
Braxton Berrios.
I mean, all these guys. You got a bunch of guys. You got a bunch of guys that need to be, really, if we're being honest, fourth on the depth chart, maybe competing for a third spot. If John Mechie,
they're pushing Mechie out. I think those guys are competing to push Mechie out.
They're going
to
push Mechie out where?
Off of the team.
Mechie's got, I'm going to tell you what, this is what, Mechie's got the inside track to be the number three wide receiver on this team. I know you don't want to hear that.
No, I don't see it.
No, that's CJ's dude. I'm telling you right now. They have made John Mechie a priority time and time and time again, and what I've watched is not normal. Like, it's not that, that's not Mechie getting run with the ones all offseason last year, having not ever done anything and wasn't doing anything then. During the regular season, like, Mechie came on and played some good football late, and to the point we talked about on this show all the time. Like, hey man, John Mechie's showing some promise. I get it now. John Mechie's doing some things, but the way he was treated, there's definitely a dynamic of like, hey, that's CJ's dude. So he's gonna be given every single opportunity.
Oh, I think opportunity, but I don't know that he seizes it, is my point.
Well, we'll see.
You know what I mean?
We'll see how that, you know, what happens. But there's no doubt about it. Like, he's got the inside track because of CJ. Now, that can't trump the draft. That can't trump bringing in somebody here that's got more of a speed wide receiver. I like John Mechie in that him and Christian Kirk in that slot role. I think that's where Mechie needs to live anyway. But like, I don't hate that as a depth guy and as a piece to compete. What I don't like is going into the season and John Mechie's overall the third most experienced receiver on this roster.
No,
that just can't happen.
I think they need to be treating it, and to some degree they have. They got, again, Braxton Berrios and Justin Watson, and they're versatile players, but they need to be treating the receiver core like they are trying to do the offensive line. bringing in veteran guys, somebody that's going to help develop and push the younger guys. That's creating competition. That's making everybody better. I don't know how much competition there really was in the wide receiver core last year or on the offensive line, to be honest with you.
The problem with our conversation, Sean, and you're right. I mean, it's not wrong, but the problem...
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
With our conversations, to put it just black and white, the guys I'm talking about, we ain't competing. Like the guards I'm talking about, we ain't competing. I mean, you're signing these guys, you're trading for these guys, you're drafting these guys, and it's plug and play. We're not competing. The receivers I'm talking about, it's plug and play. We're not competing. I mean, if something happens and John Metchie takes this huge step and all of a sudden he's competing with Christian Kirk or he's competing with a first or second round draft, cool, that's fine. But I'm talking about the level guys where it's like, man, we need you, bro. Like, we got to have you. If you're in a Texans uniform, you're plugged in right here. Cooper, you're not competing, man. You're coming in here.
No.
If 100%. If you've taken a step back to where you are competing with guys like John Metchie, then we got a problem. But ultimately, the guys I'm talking about, we're not talking about competing. We're talking about playing. Hey, T, got to get to it, baby. We got to get to it. T Mills, best bets. What you got?
Yeah, and... It's been a rough week.
Hey, it ain't how you start, baby. It's how you end this thing.
That's true. Y'all know we always aim for that 60% success mark. Well, this week we're holding right now at 43%. So need a good night on a Friday, and I got five NBA bets for you real quick, as always, listed off. First, I got the Magic plus 11.5 points as they travel to Minnesota to take on the T-Wolves. Then I got an over. Celtics at the Miami Heat, over 214.5 points tonight. And then three player props. Şengün, the hometown kid, Alpi, over 10.5 rebounds tonight as the Rockets take on the Mavericks. Then, guess I didn't learn from B. Scott.
This is the one you can do. This is the one you can get away with.
Jalen Green, over 21.5 points for the Rockets tonight. And lastly here, I got Ja Morant, Memphis Grizzly, over 4.5 rebounds for Ja in his game this evening. Is there any y'all love, any you hate?
I'm going to be honest with you. I want to get that Alpi with you, but I don't think this is a game where Alpi's going to be on the bench a good chunk of the second half, so he's going to do a lot of work early.
Yeah.
Did you say Jalen Green?
Over 21 and a half.
Over 21 and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Again, I like that one. I think he's coming on. Like, he had his best game in like 2-3 weeks the other night when he led the team in scoring.
If they're up 20 and a half, does he play in the second half? That's the key. He's usually one that stays on the floor.
Probably.
When they're destroying folks, he stays on the floor.
He may play Diamond Thompson when they were up 29 points, 5 minutes left to go in the game
Let me get on that Jalen Green with you, $100. Let me get on that Jalen Green.
Let's
talk me into it. This is what B. Scott told us not to do, and here we are.
Yeah.
Sean Bajani, man, appreciate you, man. It was big time. Enjoyed the hell out of it, brother. Hey, T. Mill. I appreciate you being able to go out the night before and come in not sounding like you're nasally, sounding like you're Tracy Lawrence trying to do the radio show.
Yes, sir. I ain't no rookie.
Be careful out in them streets tonight, man. It gets wild every now and then on a Friday night in H-Town. You know what I mean? Until next week, baby. H-Town, we love you.
I'm not so sure.
Hold on, he said steak night?
Yeah.
Well, that's ass.
Yeah. Was there any steak there?
There was no food there.
I texted them when we were all talking, planning back there.
You want to go have a steak at 11:30?
Hey, I was on the tee box at 7:30 a.m., okay?
Apparently, it was about 8:10.
When you chimed in right there to Lopez, tad bit nasally, I can tell you had a little bit of dirty water last night.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.